Welcome to worship today as we say farewell to our beloved pastor, Diane, on her final day at St. Stephen's. We are sad to see her go, but we are excited to see what God is going to do here with this congregation in our midst, because he walks with us always. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, who is worthy of all praise and adoration. Today, we come together to honor a covenant that is ending, yet celebrate our eternal covenant with God. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and worship him together in unity, reverence, and love. and let us light the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus is at our center. Let us pray. Holy God, be with us in our worship as we open to Christ's Spirit guiding each of us. Help us to cherish our memories and to move forward with your grace. Amen. As we know, God has been so merciful upon our church and upon each of us personally. So let's come before him to pray the prayer of confession. Loving God, we want to be people of faith, people whose lives tell a story of your love and faithfulness to us. But some days, life gets pretty hard. Fear and worries seep in, and before we know it, they overcome our faith. We forget that you are greater than anything that threatens, and we forget your promises. Even more, we forget that we can always count on you to fulfill your promises, even if we can't see how you are doing that. Forgive us for our fear and our forgetfulness, God. Help us to hold on to our faith and to you today, tomorrow, and for all the years to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, there is no wrong that God cannot make right. There is no chasm that can separate us from God's love. The Lord is patient and kind, generous and good. God will not forsake you or leave you, so we can turn to the Lord with confidence and put our faith in God's great mercy. By the power of Jesus Christ, we aren't just forgiven, we are actually being made whole. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3, and then 8 to 16. So there's a break in between. I'm going to be reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message. This is a message related to faith in what we don't see. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened. that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering in the millions. Each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. The word of Christ. Amen.
Months ago, when I started to ponder what reading I would pick for us for today, I expected to pick something other than one of the readings that the lectionary schedule we regularly use prescribes. But it turns out that this passage from Hebrews was one of the readings that was suggested for this Sunday. And wonderfully, it's a very fitting reading for what I hope to be able to say today. It feels to me that talking about faith is a good focus for us, especially as we celebrate both a beginning and an ending, all happening within the bigger picture of our journey, which clearly continues on after today for all of us. This being one of the lectionary's readings this week was really a God wink for me, and I truly hope that it is for you as well. Hebrews 11 has been referred to as the Great Hall of Faith. Reading this entire chapter is a bit like visiting one of those ancient castles in Europe or the UK, where you walk in and the entry hall and the stairwells and all the passageways are lined with portraits, portraits of all the ancestors in the family line who have gone before us. Each of those portraits holds its own story of that person and of how they contributed toward the survival of the family legacy, a legacy that has been passed on from one generation to another. There are many people listed in this chapter, many portraits for us to visit. There's Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and as we heard in our reading, there's Abraham and Sarah, and their son Isaac, and his son Jacob. There's Joseph and Moses, Moses' parents, and of course all of the Israelite people who followed Moses out of Egypt. Joshua's there. He goes unnamed, but he's there. There's Rahab and Gideon and Barak, Samson and David and Samuel, and of course all the prophets. This truly is a sweep of key people in the biblical story. Now, obviously, we aren't looking at the entire chapter today, and so we're not looking at all of those people's stories, thank goodness, or we'd be here forever. We're focusing on one person, on Abraham. In these verses before us, Abraham is the one being held up as a model of faith for us all. Now, as it is with all families, some of us know the stories of our forebears, and some of us might not. So for those who might not have the story of Abraham front and center in their minds today, let me take a minute to remind us all of his story and of what the writer of this passage was referring to when he talked about what Abraham did. When Abraham was in his 80s, and thought he was well past anything interesting happening in his life, he received a visit from God. God came to him and told Abraham that he was about to do incredible things in and through the old man's life. God said that a great nation was going to come from Abraham. Now, it is important to remember as you hear that at this point, Abraham and his wife Sarah were childless. They were both well beyond the point of having any children, they thought. But God thought differently. He promised to bless Abraham and his descendants. So apparently there were children to come. God also promised that a day was going to come when all of the peoples of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's family. And we have been through Jesus, who would come many generations later. Pretty incredible. Now, what's amazing about Abraham is what he did. Before God had even told Abraham any of those prophetic promises, he gave the elderly man a strange command. God told Abraham to pack up his household and go. That's a lot, right? Especially when you're 80. But here's the real kicker. God didn't tell Abraham where he was to go to. He just said, go to the land I will show you. Get going, Abe, and I'll give you directions on the way. And with just that command and no details, Abraham went. Talk about trust. Now, Abraham's faith did sometimes falter in the years to come, but that doesn't diminish the fact that he did as God had asked. He went. He saw and he lived in the land God led him to. And although he never saw his descendants settle permanently in that land, his experiences with God over the coming years convinced him that it would happen one day. Abraham died having faith that God's promises would come to pass. And because of that, he left his family a legacy of faith that guided them through their own parts in this great story of God. Today, we have their portraits in this great hall, their stories of faith that guide us as well. Now, it's all well and good to throw the word faith around and assume that we all understand and agree on what we mean by that. Actually, if I'm going to be honest, it's not a good idea at all. It's far better to make sure that we do understand what we mean. And really, I think that's all I hope we might do together in these few moments today. Spend a little bit of time thinking about what it was about the lives of Abraham and each of those people listed in this chapter that makes them worthy of being included in this great hall of faith. The writer of our passage actually remains unknown to us. But whoever they were, in this first verse, they wisely gave us their definition of what faith is. Now, if you tune in regularly, you will know that I very rarely turn to the King James translation of the Bible. But today I'm going to, because I think that the word that is used in that translation of this verse is really good and really helpful for us. In our normal NRSV Pew Bible translation, verse 1 says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But in the King James Version, faith is described in that same verse as being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think that word substance is much more helpful for us here than the word assurance. It seems to be, first of all, a closer translation of what the author was trying to say when they first wrote this passage in Greek. The Greek word they used is really defined as a foundation that is firm and has actual existence. So faith is a foundation. It's not just something that we feel or think. Faith has substance that actually exists. And I would add, is perceivable in some way. So our author says that faith is something that has substance. And then, to ensure that we understand what they were getting at, they go on to give us this list of all the people who are examples of that substantial faith. And here's what I think they wanted us to notice in that list. It's the verbs. When the writer of this passage talked about the faith of these people, they described what each one did. The actions they each took. Actions that were seen and had impact. Substantial actions. Actions of faith. So Abraham, he obeyed and went when God told him to go. He made his home in that land and he lived there. He embraced God's promise. He offered Isaac for sacrifice, as difficult as that is for us to get our heads around. Isaac himself conferred his blessing onto his sons, and Jacob actually did the same. Moses' parents actively hid their baby from Pharaoh. And Moses chose to live with the Israelite people in slavery rather than live in the luxury and power he could have known had he stayed in Pharaoh's palace. Moses led the people out of Egypt. And those people actually walked through the Red Sea. It goes on and on and on. Each person listed in this chapter took action in some way. They did something tangible in and through their lives. They acted in faith. And so their faith had substance. It was actually visible to others. They lived their faith, and they are commended here because they did. Now, we also need to remember that in reality, those people also all faced incredible challenges. Life was not easy. And for many of them, what they did in faith came at a cost. None of them actually saw the future God has promised come in fullness. They each died looking towards that future, and they died trusting that one day it would come. But each one also did what they could in their own lives, what God led them to do. And in the process, they trusted that each of their individual steps of faith mattered. And that with each of those steps, the people coming after them, their descendants in the faith, would be brought a little closer to the realization of God's promises. These people knew the stories of what had happened through the lives of the people who came before them. So they realized that, like those ancestors, they were part of a much bigger story, a story that would extend well beyond their lifetime. It's a story that began way back at creation and will be complete and reach its fullness on the day when we finally see all the promises of God coming fully into being. His promise that this creation he loves so much will be renewed and set free from death in all of its forms. And his promise that all parts of his renewed creation, including us, will finally experience and live the life we were designed for, a life that is unimaginably good. Friends, it's really important to remember that this great hall of faith that we have been exploring together today is not yet complete. There are still empty spaces on the walls, spaces reserved for each of our portraits. So today I want to urge you to look back and remember what God has already done in your own life, around you, and in this larger story we are all a part of. Remember what God has done already, and then listen for what He might be calling you to do, maybe today. Then, like Abraham, just do it. Let your faith be more than words or feelings. Let your faith live on through what you do. Let your lived out faith become part of this great story of God with us. Let it be your legacy for the generations who are coming after us. Because maybe one day, the little ones we're baptizing even now might look back and remember our stories. And maybe our stories might give them the strength and the encouragement they need to be able to do what God is calling them to do in their time. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, my friends. Today's prayers have a theme. It's one of gratitude. While we ask of God for so much, we must also take time to give thanks as well. My quote to open comes from John Milton. Gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday epiphanies, those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life and the world. Let us come before God in prayer. God of all goodness, we begin by saying thank you for life itself, for breath in our lungs, and for the beauty of this island that surrounds us, ocean, forest, and sky. We give thanks. We are grateful for this community of faith at St. Stephen's, and for the kindness, the wisdom, and the laughter that's shared among us. For those who give of their time, their talents, and their quiet acts of love, we thank you. We give thanks for family and friends, both near and far, whose presence lifts our hearts, for the simple moments, shared meals, warm sunlight, and quiet prayers answered in unexpected ways. We thank you for healing of the body, of relationships, and of the spirit. We name those in our hearts now who are still waiting for healing and hope, asking that your peace continue to surround them. We are grateful for those who serve others in hospitals, in classrooms, in kitchens, in council chambers, in places we seldom notice, and for all the firefighters doing their absolute best with the fires in our province. May they be strengthened and blessed in their work. We remember with gratitude the legacy of those who have gone before us, their faith, their vision, and the foundation that they built for our lives today. Help us to live as good stewards of that inheritance. In this world of abundance, may our gratitude grow into generosity. Help us to see where we can share what we have, our time, our compassion, our voice, with those in need. Even in times of difficulty, remind us to give thanks for your presence that never leaves us, for strength that rises up within us, and for hope that carries us forward. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the faithful service of your servant, Diane. Thank you for the years of dedication, for the sermons that inspired, the prayers that uplifted, and the quiet acts of love that often went unseen. Through seasons of joy and challenge, Diane led with humility, shepherding your people with compassion, wisdom, and grace. We give thanks for the many lives and hearts she has touched, the faith she strengthened, and the legacy of love that she has left in this community. As Diane enters a new chapter, bless her and her family during this time of rest and renewal. May peace, joy, and purpose continue to fill the days ahead. We entrust now, Diane, to your care, grateful for all that has been and all that is to come. I am proud to be able to call Diane a friend. All this we lift up in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again for all the ways that you give to the work of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's. Let's pray together over all the gifts that are given this week. Let's pray the offertory prayer. Gracious God, we give in grateful thanksgiving for all that you have given us. In the upside-down world of the gospel, We measure our wealth not by what we have, but what we can give away. So let us give away generously, and may all that we give bless your church, your people, and your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, even though change is upon us here at St. Stephen's, I just want to reassure you that this online service is to continue. There is no movement afoot to end this service. So we hope that if you are unable to be here in person, we hope that you will continue to meet with us in the places where you are.
Friends, go into the week ahead, focused on the road before you. Go strong in the presence of the Holy Spirit and confident that God goes with you. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with his kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
The Lord bless you.